Go ahead.
I'd like to call the regular meeting of council to order on January 11, 2018 at 7 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilwoman Pat Grebbins.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present. First, I'd like to welcome Councilwoman Pat Grebbins to City Council. She has worked hard, and she is very enthusiastic about working on council. So welcome, Pat, to you.
Thank you very much.
Before we start correspondence, we have to amend the agenda to add two motions.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
I'd like to amend the agenda to allow for us to make a motion to put out a bid, to ask the mayor to put out a bid for asphalt and limestone for this year.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Micah to go out for a bid for asphalt and limestone for 2018 under new business. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, this was in regard to an email the mayor sent us on Wednesday, so it was prior to when the agenda was set.
Correct. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Phoebe.
Yes.
Grebbins.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The motion to go out for bid for asphalt and limestone has been adopted.
Madam President.
Added to the agenda.
To under new business. Thank you.
Sorry.
I would like to make a motion to amend the agenda in the area or the section of correspondence to allow for a motion to override the mayor's veto of ordinance number 2017-88.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to set aside or overrule the mayor's veto on ordinance 2017-88 under correspondence. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Sorry. Phoebe.
Yes.
Grebbins.
Yes.
Hollum.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Motion to set aside or overrule the mayor's veto on 2017-88 has been adopted.
Well,
no, added to the agenda.
Sorry, added to the agenda. Then we'll vote on it.
Okay,
and the next
good.
Order of business, which is correspondence.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to override the mayor's veto on ordinance number 2017-88.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to override the veto that the mayor did on ordinance 2017-88. And is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President. One thing that I find very concerning about 2017-88, specifically listed under Section 2, services for the above captioned matter will, pursuant to the agreement which is appended here to and incorporated herein, we have not defined what we will accept as a cost for this. I find this completely irresponsible, and I know that there was conversation around bankrupting the city concerning the union, but this to me, by not coming forward and giving this law firm some specifics on what we will accept, and you know, $17,000 might be a great starting point, and then they can come back with their findings at that point and we can make additional decisions. But I can't, in good faith for our taxpayers, give them basically the keys to our bank account, because that's what we're doing with this ordinance. We are telling them, you just let us know how much you want to spend.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Madam President.
Vice Vice President Plushnick.
Ordinance 2017-88 would hire the law firm of Benesch and Attorney Joe Gross in particular to represent the city in a matter where the Secretaries Union have brought action against the city, trying to impose the contract with the infamous 9% raises, tenure like a public school teacher, cash uniform allowances, longevity pay, $1,000 annual bonuses, potentially unlimited vacation as determined in the mayor's sole discretion to quote the contract. This is something that council has rejected in the interests of the public. And while I would certainly like to limit legal costs, you can't go in the hospital and say, fix me, but I'll pay you a maximum of $17,000. Hopefully, we'll expend no money. Hopefully, the Secretary's Union will recognize that it's in the best interest of the city for them to drop their legal actions. Hopefully, the mayor will also admit it's in the best interest of the city to stop suing the city as well. But so long as the city is being sued, council is obligated as fiduciaries of the city to have its defense. And my hope is not a dime is spent. My hope is after this meeting, people think better of the lawsuits they frivolously brought against the great city of Willoughby Hills, and no legal fees are necessary. But if they do pursue their claims, the city of Willoughby Hills must be defended. Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilman Hale.
I want to just state that for the public's knowledge, that first of all, we would have had the union been voted down within the 30-day time frame, then we would have been back at the negotiation table trying to work this out to something that everyone could live with. For whatever reasons, council did not do that, and now we are here in this position. However, to my knowledge, no one has ever gone back to the union to see could we continue this negotiation to work it out as opposed to becoming litigious about it. So I just think that this is not a good ordinance. It doesn't set a good precedent, and I think it's frivolous on our part to do it.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
The reason is, to Mr. Hallam's point, the reason is council was not advised that there was a 30-day time limit. Further, it was also not advised that we had 15 days in which to question the actual formation of a union, which was, for example, if you have someone in management going around asking people to be in a union, that's clearly a violation of the spirit of unionization. There's evidence that has occurred. And to the second point, the mayor was directed to go back to the union and renegotiate this. The mayor and the law director were the sole people that were in the negotiation. We were never invited as council to participate. We have since asked to participate in any further negotiations, and we've also directed that the mayor will no longer be negotiating on behalf of the city going forward for any union negotiations.
Madam President, I'd like to respond.
I don't want to debate.
I'm not going to debate. I just want to make a couple points that I think were inaccurate in what Mr. Fiebig said.
And then Mr. Fiebig's going to
That's fine.
You.
He, then I won't say anything else.
Okay? Actually, the acting law director has something to add.
With regard to Ms. Grevin's concern, she has a legitimate point. And what I would recommend, Madam President, is based upon what the ordinance provides, we can go to Mr. Gross and put a cap on the cost of the services for the initial work to be done by the city. That would allow council to be aware of the status. I don't think they're going to get to $17,000 on the initial evaluation, but it's a fair number for the initial work, and further expenditures would be at council's direction. So, and that can be done administratively by an amendment to the agreement. The ordinance doesn't have to be changed because the ordinance was passed last time. It's fixed the way it is, but administratively we can put that in there with the agreement of the other party, and that would also make Mr. Bertichek's certification appropriate.
Madam President, I would like to have an opportunity for us to discuss what that amount is and not just arbitrarily accept the number that I proposed. I think that that's a fair number, but I want to understand more of what you're saying. If you're saying the number doesn't need to be $17,000, then tell me what you think the number needs to be, because I certainly don't want to make it more than it needs to be. But to offer nothing and then come back and say, well, 17 might be too much. So
What I'm saying to everyone is the acting mayor will have the authority to get that number placed in that, and it's a discussion that she can have with the proposed special counsel.
Madam President, I would just like to add that Benesch Friedlander is a renowned firm in the city of Cleveland, and the attorneys that work there are bound by the rules of professional responsibility and can't just charge us as much as they want or try to siphon money out of our city's bank account. That's not how this works. They're here to perform a service. They will perform the service to the best of their abilities, I'm sure, because of the rules of professional responsibility and because they have a duty to their clients and they have a reputation to uphold. So I do believe that they will do a very good job. I think a limit isn't a terrible idea. I can definitely get behind that, and I have full faith that an attorney like Joe Gross will do everything in his power to keep the cost fair for the services he's providing us.
And now I would like to just say 2 points.
Everybody.
2 points. I have a right to respond to this. So, Mr. Fiebig, Councilman Fiebig said that we were not notified of a 30-day period. That is inaccurate. We were notified of a 30-day period. It came in the original email with the contract. And secondly, with regard to being notified that we had 15 days to dispute anything, there's nothing that says that the administration needs to notify us of that, that they are responsible, according to our charter, fully for negotiations and creation and acceptance of acceptance of and saying who is and who is not in a union. It has nothing to do with legislative. It's not a legislative decision. And so I don't think that's an accurate argument to make, a good argument. Thank you.
Madam President, just in a quick look at the law, when I was made aware of this situation, I found several obvious defects in the formation of this union that any competent attorney would have seen and would have certainly have appealed the formation of this union based on those very obvious defects.
Madam President,
Councilwoman.
Sorry. I just wanted to add in, since this 30 days has echoed over and over again, in reading over some of the recent back and forth emails, and I must say, at no time in my life had I wished more that I had gone to law school as recently. But as it is, I believe I was reading some reasoning response from the mayor, and I can't quote it exactly. Like I said, there's been voluminous amounts of litigation-related material in the past couple months, doing my best to wade through it. But in regard to the 30-day, I came upon something that said that we had been, since we were supposed to go into recess in August, that the union was aware that we would be going into recess and they were willing to extend the 30-day time period. Well, I was never made aware of this, and I doubt if any of my colleagues were aware of this either, but this is in writing. We can go back and look at it. And then it further stated that because we met in August twice for the purpose of seeking and interviewing and confirming a new council person, which turned out to be Ms. Pishmo, that the clock, to quote the thing I read, the clock began ticking again. So we were on the clock again by virtue of us holding council meetings in August. Another fact that was not made apparent to me, and if anybody else knows of it, please let me know. But two things that just stood out in my mind today to add into this 30-day debate. Thank you.
Madam President, following off Councilwoman Micah's comments, she's referring to the mayor's veto letter dated Wednesday, January 10th, which refers to the special meetings in August as made, quote, in a haste to appoint Laura Pishmo. And I think it's important to correct the record that council is required to make its appointment within 30 days of a vacancy. That time limit is set by our charter, so we were in a haste to follow our councilmatic duty of 30 days and did so through a series of interviewing every single candidate that applied. So I I think it's an unfortunate characterization in the mayor's letter. I'll also add that at no time was I advised by our law director of a 30-day deadline. We received a note from the mayor and an email from him referring to we have 30 days to pass or accept or reject this contract, but at no time was I given legal advice that this was a legal deadline. And I was certainly not advised by our law director of any consequences of missing a 30-day deadline. To the best of my knowledge, no member of council was. So it would be incorrect to characterize the mayor's email as legal advice. He's not a lawyer. He couldn't permissibly offer it. It would actually be a misdemeanor if he tried to. So we know he did not. And the 15-day deadline was never referenced in any writing or spoken form, to my knowledge, to myself, and I believe to any other member of council. So I would concur with Councilwoman Pigemot that any competent attorney would have advised Council of these very relevant deadlines, given that regardless of who negotiates a contract, Council ultimately votes on it, and these deadlines are relevant to when a contract should be approved or denied. And Council did, in fact, speak with the mayor and direct him to renegotiate the contract. It was our belief that the mayor was going to go back and work with the union and try to create a more reasonable proposal that would actually produce tax savings for residents as opposed to increased cost. The mayor confirmed to us that he would renegotiate, but didn't touch base with council until after this 30-day deadline had passed and informed us the union wasn't interested in renegotiating. So I agree that there is a litigious party here. Unfortunately, it's the secretary's union, which is very anxious to take the benefits under the contract. But I would call on them to do the right thing for Willoughby Hills, to drop their actions against the city. That way, no legal fees need to be expended. But if they insist on suing the city, we will do our fiduciary duty to defend it with an attorney. And I'm grateful to the wisdom of council in taking this action. Thank you.
Madam President.
Vicki, call the roll.
Madam President.
I'm calling the question. Vicki, call the roll.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grebbins.
No.
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The motion to override the mayor's veto on 2017-88 has passed. The next order of business is the disposition of the journal for the minutes of the special council meeting, meetings of the special meeting of council held on December 19, 2017.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt the minutes of the special meeting of council held on December 19, 2017.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to adopt the special meeting of council held on December 19th minutes. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grebbins.
Yes.
Hallam.
Abstain.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The motion to adopt the minutes of the special meeting of council held on December 19th have been adopted. The next is the mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. The flags on city property were taken down this week. They were tattered and torn and ripped. The inclement weather has caused that, and the pulleys are frozen in the ground. So we use the ladder truck to take them down, and they'll go back up once the bad weather subsides. Dave, I got your note in. So they all are taken down now.
Thank you, Mayor. And if I may, do you think nylon would last a little better than the cotton?
We tried nylon on cotton. The last one was nylon, and it ripped up in a week.
Okay.
So,
all right. Thank you for
the
following
bump,
up.
The bump on Chardon Road, ODOT has been notified. They were working with Mark Tyler, who's got some input with CT consultants, and we're trying to see how we can rectify the bumps. There's 72 of them as we go down from River to the Kirtland line. The Fine Valley streetlight, we're working with the illuminating company and the HOA, and we should see some progress soon within the next few weeks. The original proposal was to put it across the street in Marty DeVito's property, but she objected to that, so they're thinking that they can put it on the same side of the street as Pine Valley. The AARP is taking reservations for tax preparation, and if you call my office, she's scheduling the appointments for that. They will begin on Friday in February. The Law Enforcement Appreciation Night has been established by a company called Blue Line Unlimited that will feature Craig Anderson, one of the officers involved in the shooting last year. The appreciation night will be Saturday, January 27th from 6 to 10 at St. Noel's Banquet Center. Ticket information is available on the our website, and proceeds will benefit the officer's family or the charity they choose. The city's been awarded $36,754 for the 2018 from NOPEC as part of the NOPEC Energized Community Grant Program. My office is working with the fire department to discuss writing the grant to replace the windows and any other energy saving stuff at City Hall. The city also has been granted an award from the Bureau of Workman's Comp for $4,500 for fire department gear, and this is the hoods and certain things. I provided an 88-page credentialing package to council for the confirmation of Tom Talcott as a fire chief. In addition, I provided 53 pages to counsel for Michael Gerano as our law director. I encourage both of them to be confirmed tonight. Legislatively, I am providing the veto, which, although it was overturned at the rate of $3.95 an hour, but also I don't support ordinance 2018-1, which amends section 111.01 of our codified ordinances as it relates to the indemnification of our employees and officials. I do not support 2018-2, which engages Steve Ryren and the law firm Singerman, Mills, Despert, and Kantz to act as the city law director for $10,000 per month. With my recommendation this evening of Michael Germano, who has been credentialed extensively to our hiring process, I see no need for this ordinance. I will be presenting a proclamation to senior apartment resident Tony Bellissimo on her 100th birthday and congratulate her on her fine achievement. Thanks to the Wilby Hills Quilt Society, who sponsored our art show in January and February. Their quilts were put up earlier this week, so you can stop by and see those. Sympathy to the following families who lost loved ones, including longtime Wilby Hills business manager at Gales Garden Center, Tom Pruka. Koopa, St. Noel's pastors, George Smiga's mother, Stella Smiga, and VFW Coast Commander Ron Pura, whose wife, Marcia Morgan. Our thoughts and prayers are with them. And then the last thing, the photo contest for March. Check the website for information for detailing your artwork and the nice prize you can win. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any questions for the mayor this evening?
Madam President, one quick comment, two questions. First, the mayor, you were referring to Mike Tyler, not Mark Tyler,
yeah,
the honorable
yeah.
former mayor of Kirtland. I know that Mike has worked very hard on behalf of the city to try to deal with the issues on Sharon Road. He's a former member of our Planning and Zoning Commission. He's slated to be governor of the Lions for our local district and really an honorable member of our community. But two quick questions, Mayor. First, in the packet for your nomination of Mike Germano, there is a criminal background check which identifies itself as page 1 of 2, and on that page it says clear colon, and then it says no, which I find a little concerning, and then page 2 is not included. So is there any way that you could include the remainder of that in the packet for council? Because we certainly want to know what it means for his check to not be clear. And secondly, you say that you don't support ordinance number 2018-1, which would take away indemnification from employees who are charged with a crime, who are being sued by the city, who are acting outside the course and scope of their conduct, who are engaged in dishonest, fraudulent, willful, intentional, or malicious acts. I'm curious, what about that you don't support? Do you think that the city should be hiring attorneys for those who commit crimes or are in a position where the city itself needs to sue them to recoup costs? Do you support hiring lawyers for criminal conduct of employees?
The criminal conduct for employees is already exempted for for the indemnification of their charges. So that's already in 111.01.
What do you not support about it?
I don't support the ordinance the way it's written. In one section one, it says they're not provided. In section three, it contradicts the previous sentence. So it's very poorly written because it does both.
I'm not clear on your concern, Mayor. I'm trying to understand your point, and I'm not following you.
I just think it needs more work in determining more work in wordsmanship and so forth to make it clear what you're trying to accomplish.
I think what we're trying to accomplish is to make sure that employees who've acted outside the course and scope of their employment, who have acted criminally, are not able to subsidize their behavior with the city hiring an attorney for them. We've already expressed our concern with the expense of hiring attorneys when necessary to defend the city's interests. I think it goes without saying we don't want to hire a bunch of expensive attorneys for employees who are breaking the law and perhaps even under investigation by the city itself or sued by the city itself. We certainly wouldn't want to have to subsidize their attorneys. Would you agree with that, Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you.
One last thing. I would like an executive session when convenient, inviting all council and the engineer. It's for the acquisition of city property and possible litigation for rezoning. Not to be 5 minutes. I just want to make you aware of something.
Okay. I think, though, if, Mr. Mayor, if it's acquisition of city property and possible litigation, that the acting law director should be included in that.
That's fine.
The next order of business is the law director's report. Mr. Byron.
I have no report.
The next is the finance director's report, Mr. Berkachek.
I have no report tonight.
And the city engineer, Mr. DeFranco.
Also no report tonight.
Madam President, if I could ask one question of our city engineer. We're repeatedly hearing from our residents questions about the status of the Pleasant Valley Road Bridge. Do we have any sense of when that bridge might be repaired, what the progress is? I assume weather has been the issue, but I'd certainly like an update.
I don't have one.
Yeah, I don't have one either.
Well, I would just ask that administration works to get one, because it is very important to our residents on Pleasant Valley Road and Dodd and Dodd's Hill. So.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to committee reports. Council met this past Monday for the organizational meeting, and the chairs of the standing committees of council were elected. Finance chair is John Pleshnik. Planning and zoning is Pat Grebbins. Recreation is Christopher Hallam. Rules and legislation is Nancy Fellow. Safety is Dave Fiebig. Service is Dave Fiebig. And utilities is Jan Mica. Personal relations will be chaired by Laura Pismo. Her committee members will be Mr. Chris Delaney, Laura Lenz, Greg McCarthy, and John Pleshnik. The working committee of council is chaired by the president. And I sent a memo out, I think, yesterday, reminding members that they should have, chair, that they should have their members of their committees together no later than the next council meeting in January. And I have received some of those and given them to Vicki. Any comments or questions? Okay. Mr. Mayor, I do have a question about Brian Jones. I believe you had appointed him to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Correct.
He was also elected to the school board for Lake County.
Yes.
I think there's a provision in our charter, 9.21, that prohibits a person being an elected position to be in another committee. So you may want to look at that.
Okay.
Section 9.21. Not that I wouldn't like him to serve, but...
Yeah, okay. It,
charter, right. Are there any other council representative reports or comments on committees?
Madam President, if I could just share that I have selected my members for the Finance Committee of Council, our composition will remain the same. Yourself, Council President Fellows, and Councilman Dave Fiebig will be joining me on Finance to continue for a second term. I have not prepared my formal minutes for our last Finance Committee meeting yet, but for the benefit of the public, I do want to share that our prime purpose in meeting was to give our priorities to the mayor and the finance director as they work on the 2018 budget, which will hopefully be delivered to council for our deliberation and consideration soon. And we emphasize the importance of lowering administrative costs significantly to the order of around $1 million a year so that we can redirect those funds towards roads as well as increased resources for our police and fire departments. We've certainly seen from Mike Tyler's work that Chardon Road itself could easily be a $750,000 project. And the only way our city can afford to continue to serve its residents is if we reroute our resources at this time. So the Finance Committee has given that direction to the mayor. We look forward to seeing his draft in the budget. But I can assure the public that council will be holding to those priorities of roads, police, and fire. And we will be minimizing expenses and administrative overhead while maximizing our delivery of services to you. Thank you.
Madam President.
That's with you.
Madam President, as Chair of Safety, I've also selected committee members Laura Pismo and Jan Mica as Chair of Service, also Laura Pismo and Jan Mica. We had a safety committee meeting that I spoke about and gave a very brief summary of, and prior to the meeting, I emailed a PDF file to our clerk, so that's available now for the public as a public record and available and please disseminate to all our council members. If you wish, I'm open to any questions. This does go back to the November 16th meeting, but we haven't had a committee report, section in our meetings up until this point, so I stand open to any questions if you had. But that meeting, again, was to discuss the bridge that was closed on Pleasant Valley, and we discussed those issues, how it'll be fixed, what happens going forward. Many issues were discussed, such as should we continue to own the bridge? And we talked at great length about that. And there was some history given. There was a good amount of information, which I won't bore you with the details now, about painting it, how we'd go about doing it, when it's going to be due to be painted again, how much is that going to cost, where did the fees go from the license plate fee and getting that money back into that fund. The legal obligations that the city has to repair that. And there was a good amount of discussion. We did direct our law director to contact the county. I know he's been busy, and it's been the holiday season, so I don't know that we've even gone there yet to discuss, would they be able to maintain that bridge, you know, down the road, or could we work with, did you have that discussion, Mayor or Mr. DeFranco, regarding pooling the resources of their group that they would have painting all of their bridges and making sure that was in there? We talked about that, and we can follow up on that if you have any discussion on that. So that's basically it. We also discussed with our acting fire chief the issues with the fire department in the fumes that are in a fire station naturally. Diesel, of course, creating more than other engines, but the equipment that we have in there, when the doors open, they automatically recirculate air. We talked about that. Obviously, cancer among firefighters is an important subject. You know, exposing them to less exhaust fumes is why we put these things in place. There were some grants that were available. We talked about that. I expressed to our fire department that anything you need, please let us know. We're willing to work with you and for you for your safety. And everyone that was there participated with a lot of questions. Again, I'm just being brief with this, but one of the things that came out at the end of the meeting was that the reason that we hadn't hired a full-time fire staff was there were some concerns that our acting chief had about sustainability of funds for those positions. And so there was definitely some concern with that. So I think that's something that we're going to need to seriously look at with our budget here going forward. Because if we're having trouble with funding people that go out and save somebody from a life-threatening situation, that's got to be our top priority. Several people in public portion spoke. It was a little over an hour meeting, and I stand open to questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fabian. Any questions? Last thing on committees then, rules and legislation members are Laura Pismo, Dave Fabian, and John Pleshnik.
Madam President.
Yes, Jen.
Utilities also had a meeting on December 28th. And by the way, I have appointed two other people on the Utilities Committee. I'm retaining John Pleshnik to stay on, and then the new addition will be Dave Fiebig. So on the 28th, we met, and the purpose of the meeting was to talk about the sewer reduction that was passed last year about this same time. It was passed at the end of January last year. So the purpose was just to acknowledge that we were in the process of review to see what impact these rate reductions have had, if any, on the budget. And going forward, as the new budget is being estimated and formulated, we're going to be working with Mr. DeFranco, who was not present at that meeting, so we were a little limited as what we could do as far as announcing upcoming projects and doing budget estimates. That's what everybody in administration will be working on for the next month or so, is to come up with the plan for the year and the budget for the year. We talked about the composition of our sewer rate bills, that it comes from three parts, that part of it comes from Euclid, part comes from Willoughby Hills, and part is just an administrative fee from the county. We talked about a short history of our sewers being installed in Willoughby Hills and the current rate structure, why we felt it was necessary to go with a rate cut. Short history was that back in 2008 or so, the sewer fund was lacking money to cover basic costs. So when the last round of sewer installation was done in about 2013, at that time, CT Consultants, who was working with the city on the on that job, had recommended a five-year rate increase schedule that they felt would give us a good cushion of money to pay our debt service, because we did go into debt and have to take out loans to install sewers, to pay that off, to handle any ongoing repairs and projects related to sewers, and also to transfer a shortfall that would be needed between our property tax assessments. So anybody that has a sewer probably pays a property tax assessment. And so this is not quite enough to cover the amount owed back to the debt that we had taken out, the loan we had taken out. So part of the two biggest parts that we pay from Willoughby Hills go, number one, to debt service, number two, to Euclid, because they process our sewers, our sewer effluent for us. We talked about upcoming projects and projects that recently passed that are going to be pretty costly. We have a $400,000 project in the Meadowbrook pump station that was just approved by council last year and that is going to be underway when weather permits. We reviewed the recent purchase of a brand new sewer truck that's going to be used to keep things going. We talked about a couple problem areas that will be under discussion with our city engineer as well as our service director as to how we're going to approach them. One is down at Stratford Place. It's been a continuing ongoing problem for quite a while. We talked about the necessity to be in communication with the city of Euclid, since a large part of their rates comes from Euclid. So we want to get ourselves a little more involved with Euclid in talking to their director, possibly even going down and taking tours, etc. So this is a short summary. I do have a lot of notes here, which are going to be transcribed and will be available in written form fairly soon. But the important thing that I need to do and my committee needs to do in the near future is to get with Mr. DeFranco, do some planning, do some budgeting for our needs coming up this year, and hopefully planning for some long-term, short-term goals as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Mike. Any questions for Jan? Any other committee reports or comments?
Madam President, I would just like to go on the record to share that I did reach out to John to be a committee member for the Finance Committee, as well as I reached out to Dave with the hopes of discussing joining the Safety and the Service Committees. So I just wanted everyone to know that those were committees that I did attempt to join. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President? If I could just share, as I discussed with Councilwoman Grevens, I'm very grateful for her interest in the Finance Committee, and every member of Council should be concerned with our budget. It's, after all, the most important legislation that we typically pass. But my decision in appointing the same members from Finance, in addition to the experience that Council President Fellows and Councilman Fiebig bring to the table, is because we typically do appoint the Council President to the Finance Committee, given that the budget is such an integral part of what we do as a city. The Council President should be integral in that process. And Councilman Fiebig has stepped up in terms of signing off on purchase orders that exceed the mayor's $2,000 spending limit. He's taken a considerable amount of time in learning how to review these POs carefully, and I think that experience is valuable going forward. It's also rare for a freshman council person to be appointed to the more senior committees like finance or rules. I wasn't in my first term either. I certainly give you credit for your interest, but I do want you to know that while I considered you carefully, in my judgment as chair, I thought it was important to have the experience of our council president or council person, and I look forward to having you come to all of our finance meetings, because all committee meetings are open to the public, and we're all entitled to participate. So ultimately, if our goal is to work together, whether I'm on service or not, and this year I'm not, I still have the opportunity to attend Chairman Fiebig's meetings and participate. And as a new council member, I would remind you of that and encourage you to come to all of our committee meetings. Thank you.
I appreciate that, John. I do really hope that I would have more influence with being a committee member than, you know, just sharing feedback. Thank you.
Madam President, just a quick question, and I apologize.
last night. But, unfortunately, you guys had a finance committee on the 28th, and I was not available to come to that, which is unusual. Sorry. I usually can't hear you. Here for them.
Yeah,
sorry.
You keep churning and
sorry.
You're not into the mic.
I'm trying to make eye contact with John. But I'm just wondering, I know that it was a lengthy meeting I heard, so you're probably still working on minutes, but do you know when you might be able to, when do you think you might have them out?
Well, I'm going to give a lot of work to them over the weekend, but I hesitate to make a promise when I'm not sure exactly when. I will use my best efforts, but I think that my characterization of the meeting was fair. While it was lengthy and there was a lot of discussion, it all came back around to the fact that our priorities as a city, from a majority of council and those who were elected by the voters, are roads, police, and fire, and we're interested in having a strong segue from administrative overhead and secretaries and assistants to most department heads to relying more on technology, having our department heads, like the mayor, reach out directly to voters so a call would go directly to him as opposed to a secretary. That saves a position, that saves a lot of money for the city, and that was the main gist of the conversation. I think we're going to see some substantial restructuring, some strategic planning going forward in this budget process.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing that. Thanks.
As listening to the two of you, I do have a question for the finance director and the mayor. When would council anticipate receiving the budget?
Right around February 1st.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Next order of business is a public portion. This is an opportunity for the public to come forward. Please state your name and your address and try to keep your comments to 3 minutes. I will open public portion at 7:45 p.m.
Chris Welsh, 38801 Chardon Road. Comment about the bumps on Chardon. I drive back and forth every day before the city spends any money on a resurface job like they did a few years ago. I suggest reaching out to ODOT or the Fed. The road's bad. It's old. It needs more of a replacement. It's the base problem. Administrative personnel at a union, I don't know if that's even allowed. And then as far as the union goes, what union is it? Is it the laborers, the Teamsters, AFSCME? Who's backing the secretaries?
AFSCME.
AFSCME? Okay. And then that was it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Anyone else for public portion this evening? Seeing none, I'll close public portion at 7:46 p.m.
Madam President?
Yes.
We had a complete resurface of Chardon Road. What year was that?
2009.
Nine. So, we did not go down to redo the base. That's
the base. What's happening is the concrete is shifting with the heat and the thaws, and it's basically underneath the asphalt. It was originally concrete street, and that's why it's every so many feet. So the solution is to dig out, pin, but, you know, that's expensive.
All right. Any unfinished business? Next is legislation. First one is ordinance number 2017-79. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance amending Part 1, Administrative Code, Title 5, Administrative, Chapter 135, Department of Finance, Section 135.001, Position of Director of Finance, Subsection B, Duties and Responsibilities of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills, Repealing Certain Ordinances and Declaring an Emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Motion to adopt ordinance 2017-79.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to adopt ordinance number 2017-79. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I don't believe we've heard from Mr. Brekacek directly on this. I believe that the mayor spoke for him at one of our meetings and said that Mr. Brekacek was okay with this ordinance. I'd like to give him the opportunity if he would like to speak on this.
I think the ordinance is unnecessary. We already do this. I'm fine with the passage of it. There may be months when it may not be possible to meet the 15th deadline because some of the adjustments and things that each month are dependent upon getting reports from other agencies. But in general, I'm fine with this. We already do this. And the reports that are listed in this ordinance are the reports that are on the website and given to council every month. To consistently meet this 15th, there may be some shifting in priorities. There may be some things that are put off because this makes these reports a higher priority because there is now a statutory deadline for them.
Thank you.
Vicki? Fiebig?
Yes.
Grebbins?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plesnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. Ordinance 2017-79 has been adopted. The next one is ordinance number 2017-81.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into the First Amendment to the option and ground lease and amended memorandum of lease, repealing certain ordinances and declaring an emergency.
And we know that there was a typo on here. The second reading was December 19th, 2017.
Oh, sorry.
And I had reached out to our engineer this week, asking if we needed to do anything with this ordinance. Was there any amendments to it or adding exhibits? And he said he's got what he needs and it's good to go.
Madam President, motion to adopt ordinance 2017-81.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt ordinance 2017-81. Any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Fiebig?
Yes.
Grebbins?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plesnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. Ordinance 2017-81 has been adopted. The next one is ordinance number 2018-1.
An ordinance amending section 111.01, indemnification of the codified ordinances of the city of Willoughby Hills, repealing conflicting legislation and declaring an emergency.
Madam President?
Vice President Plesnik?
Motion to waive the three reading rule on ordinance number 2018-1.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2018-1. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I would just share there's urgency here because some employees and former employees of the city have been trying to send legal bills, and in many cases it's fairly clear the intent of the legislation was never to indemnify defense for the type of conduct or issues or suits involved, and I think it's important to protect the city fisc so that we don't end up with an argument that the city is responsible for the legal bills of current and former employees. And I think it also holds our employees to a higher standard of conduct, which is admirable. We want them to always operate within the law and not put the city in a position where they're adverse to it. So I think it's urgent because this matter has been raised, and I think the public should know that it's important for us to protect the fisc now.
Thank you. Vicki?
Fiebig?
Yes.
Grebbins?
Yes.
Hallam?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plesnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. The three reading rule on ordinance number 2018-1 has been waived.
Madam President?
Vice President Plesnik?
Motion to adopt ordinance number 2018-1.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt ordinance 2018-1. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President?
Councilman Hallam?
This is another piece of legislation that we've had several of these in the recent past here where it shows up. It hasn't been through any committee meetings, to my knowledge, to discuss it, to understand really, is it make sense? Do we really need it? I'm thinking just high level that if one of our part-time police or fire were accused of a crime, even in the job in the middle of one of their jobs, that this could put them at risk. So I would have liked to seen this go to a committee before we just run this through.
Madam President, I just want to clarify that that even with this ordinance, a firefighter who accidentally injures someone while trying to remove them from a burning building and were sued for the injury would be indemnified by the city. A firefighter, which I'm sure none of ours would ever do this, but who stole some jewelry while in a house responding to a call wouldn't be covered. Wouldn't be indemnified for a charge of theft for stealing jewelry. But, of course, we wouldn't want them to be because we don't want our employees doing that. So, obviously, we don't want that. So I think that it's important that, we don't want people thinking that they can, push the limits. We don't want people thinking they can get away with embezzling from the city because the city will indemnify them and pay for their attorney to defend them. So we need to make sure that we are protecting our taxpayer dollars and encouraging all of our employees to hold themselves to a very high standard of conduct.
Madam President, I would like to Chris Hallam's point, understand, I believe that this was drafted by Steve Byron, and I would really just like for him to explain the reasoning behind the differences, because as Chris mentioned, some of the language in here, as you get further into it, does make me a little uncomfortable. And to the mayor's point, he had mentioned that it's almost like a circular in the exclusions. But I would like to understand from Mr. Byron what the purpose of making a change was, because we do, from a criminal perspective, already have that in our ordinance or in our charter.
Certainly. Giving the history of this, you'll note that the ordinances that constitute this Chapter 111 were originally adopted in 1984. In 1982, the Ohio Supreme Court decided a case that repealed the doctrine of sovereign immunity, which had applied to municipalities for as long as Ohio was a state. This ordinance was adopted in 1984 in response to that, to provide some level of protection to municipal employees. The state of Ohio in 1986 enacted a state law that provided indemnification. What this ordinance does is pick up the concepts that were in the state law that are not currently in the ordinances. And that those are the exclusions that are found in subsection B of the ordinance. Conditions remain the same to obtain coverage. You have to request from the city the defense, and you have to provide a copy of a summons and complaint. We've received some recent requests, but there are no copies of summons and complaints, so there is no authority to provide defense or indemnification at this time for those complaints. They don't exist. There is no charging document, no complaint in a civil case. So this is intended to bring our ordinance into sync with what the state law requires, and it also will sync well with the law of Ohio relative to liability. So that's why these changes are being made at this time.
Thank you.
Just a question to Mr. Byron. Just want to understand, because an accusation, somebody who's accused of something, whether they did it or not, am I understanding correctly that somebody accuses one of our city personnel of some criminal thing that occurred during them performing their duties as a city employee, would not be covered anymore? We're just going to assume that they're guilty and not provide any coverage.
No. The defense would be provided if there is a summons for a civil action. If someone is charged with a crime, mm-hmm. they would not get a defense from the city.
So regardless of whether it's been proven that they did anything at all, just because they've been charged?
There is authority for counsel in the event that there is a false charge made and they have to expend resources to defend themselves, and they are ultimately acquitted, the counsel would have authority to grant a request for reimbursement. And it would be consistent with the principles here if someone were acquitted. The concern is if you defend someone who is ultimately found guilty, that money's gone. So the idea here is we are only defending in civil cases and only upon the provision of the complaint, process, notice, et cetera.
I'm just concerned that somebody who is charged with a criminal offense that they didn't do may not have the wherewithal to be able to afford their own defense, and that could look badly upon the city. So that's my concern.
Nothing would prevent counsel from providing on a case-by-case basis indemnification by a special ordinance. Counsel would retain that authority. This does not prevent counsel from providing a defense in such case.
But don't we, with the current ordinance, have the ability to not grant indemnification anyway?
No. I'm unaware of anything that would, if you meet the conditions, there's a duty of defense.
Madam President.
Just one second, Laura.
Thank you.
I would encourage individuals when legislation comes out, because not always are ordinances put into a committee, that because you had many questions, you've had 2 days to call Mr. Byron to ask these questions instead of having this diatribe here, dialogue at the council table. We have an opportunity to go to all of our resources to ask questions, whether it has something to do with the mayor, or the police department, fire department, the law department, engineers, finance, whatever, instead of now, doing this, because not all ordinances always depending on the topic of the ordinance and the urgency of it, are always going to be able to be in a committee.
I understand.
Councilman Peasley, you had a question.
Yes. I just wanted to respond to Councilman Hallam's point. What he's saying is something called malicious prosecution, which would necessitate a rogue prosecutor, either a city prosecutor or a county prosecutor coming after one of our city employees for malicious prosecution, which, doesn't happen that often. And if it does, there's recourse for that employee should that happen. And there are rules of professional responsibility that should also cover that kind of activity, and hold that, and that person could be held accountable for violating their ethical duties as attorneys.
Madam President, two things. The first one is, and having just read the Sunshine Law and the Charter and all those things, I really feel very strongly that when an ordinance does show up 2 days before a meeting, and we do have an obligation to let the public also seek those things out and hear this dialogue. And if it didn't go to a committee meeting that they could have attended, I think that I'm not maintaining my oath that I literally just took. Second, I do also want to just ask another question, because I did reach out to Mr. Byron and we had a lengthy conversation about this ordinance, and he answered a lot of my questions. But one that I thought of that I didn't get a chance to reach out to him about was, well, two actually. Are there other cities that you can share with us that mirror these exclusions that have been added, so that we can feel confident that this is written in a way that other people are doing it? Because I just got my training and they definitely said to reach out to like cities for those things. And the second one is, can you share with us how the union contracts, because we now have four of them, will treat this? Because obviously they have different expectations and rules that we must abide by. And as it goes to our, fire chief hiring firemen and our police chief hiring policemen, I do think that we need some more time on this, based on the fact that we're having a difficult time finding enough firemen to fill the roles we have. And if we look less attractive than the next town over because of these exclusions, I think we could be, to John's point, not putting safety first.
Well, one of the things that you could consider doing is repealing this chapter in its entirety and just going under state law, because the state law already provides all of these exceptions under Chapter 2744. the purpose of the exercise is to bring the city's ordinance into harmony with the state law, and that's what this does. This excludes the things that state law excludes and doesn't provide a defense requirement when the state law wouldn't require it. You could also repeal the entire chapter, and the safety forces of the city who are under the collective bargaining unit are still covered pursuant to state law by the state law.
So you're talking about 2744?
Yep.
Okay. So based on the fact that most people may not know what we were referring to, I would just go back on what I said to say,
Councilwoman Grebbins, then you can just, if it's better, then you can just abstain instead of voting a yes or a no on it.
Madam President?
Let's call the question and vote on this.
Just one correction, if I might. In terms of the, I've served on personnel relations now for over 4 years, and I just want to clarify for the public that we currently have 5 union contracts. We have the service union contract, the fire union contract, the dispatchers union contract, the patrolman contract, and the sergeant's contract. Those last 3 generally are referred to as the police. There's disputed status with respect to the contract that the Secretary's Union is pushing for, and the city has just contracted with an attorney to try to push back on the generous benefits in that. And it's a disputed status, so it's a question as to the state of that particular contract. But we have at least 5 union contracts at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. Call the vote.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grebbins.
No.
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Ordinance 2018-1 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2018-2.
An ordinance engaging Stephen L. Byron and the law firm of Singerman, Mills, Desberg, and Counts Company, LPA, as acting law director for the City of Willoughby Hills to perform the duties and exercise the authority of the city's law director and declaring an emergency.
I have a motion to waive.
Madam President,
Councilman Fiebig.
Move to waive the 3-reading rule of 2018-2.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Vice President Plushnik to waive the 3-reading rule on ordinance 2018-2. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, is my understanding that the change of firm is effective February 1st, so having this in place prior to would mean for a seamless transition. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So that bears waiving 3 readings on this.
Vicki?
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grebbins.
No.
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The 3-reading rule on ordinance 2018-2 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Motion to adopt ordinance 2018-2.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt ordinance number 2018-2. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Grebbins.
Section 9, it speaks specifically about the transfer of electronic files, but it also quotes a fee of $36,129. I think that it would be beneficial for us to include in there a little bit more detail about the dates and perhaps how those fees were calculated. I know that we would probably have that in finance. And I also would like to go on record that there is documentation and litigation relative to whether Mr. Byron is, in fact, our acting law director. So I think those 2 things at minimum need to be considered.
Madam President, as of right now, Ordinance 2017-70 is the law of the City of Willoughby Hills. No court has overturned that law, and council has not changed it nor repealed it. So Steve Byron is our acting law director at this time, according to the law of Willoughby Hills.
Madam President?
Yes.
Following off Councilwoman Pijmo's point, for those of us who are not law professors or lawyers, the theory of the case that the mayor has brought that 2017-70 is invalid is that if you challenge the constitutionality of a law in court in a civil case, you can simply ignore it and pretend that it doesn't exist. If you were to apply the same logic to, say, the criminal statutes against murder, if you were to challenge the constitutionality of a murder statute, you could murder people with impunity up until the point when a court said, no, actually, it is constitutional to outlaw murder. So you can see in a very simple example that it's a somewhat foolish argument, and even if a court were at some point to agree with the mayor, which I doubt that they will, for the time period that the court has not ruled, any ordinance validly passed under the Charter of Willoughby Hills would nonetheless be the law, and everyone, including the mayor, the city prosecutor, the council, the employees, the people of Willoughby Hills, have to follow Ordinance 2017-70. And so it is the law. Steve Byron is the valid acting law director of the city of Willoughby Hills, and there's really no debate, and I'll assign an F grade to anyone who does. Sorry, I'm a professor. What can I say?
Thank you.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grevins.
No.
Hullum.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Ordinance 2018-2 has been adopted. The next order of business is new business. Could you read the first motion?
Okay. A motion of council declare the following six pieces of fire department EMS equipment that is no longer in service. In serviceable condition is surplus: two large Kramer vacuum splints, three standard Kramer vacuum splints, and one Kramer vacuum pump. The declared value of the above-mentioned equipment was submitted to be of no value.
Madam President, I so move.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to declare the equipment from the fire department as no value. Any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grevins.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. And the motion to declare the equipment from the fire department of no value has been adopted. The next one is a confirmation of Michael Germano to serve as law director. Discussion?
Madam President,
that was a good ask. Thank you. Just to backtrack,
DUI.
And an accident, looks like.
Yeah. Are you sure?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's all abbreviated.
Yeah, there's, I think, let's see. Under driver's OBMV history, there are two pages. But then there's this background check page, and then page 51 of the document is page 1 of 2, and it does say report clear, colon, no, and there's no page 2. So they're both by backtrack. I think what you have is the accident, I believe, is page 2 of the driver's background.
Oh, so that's not the page 2 of the...
I don't think so. I'll look, though. Yeah. It's page 2 under the driver's OBMV history. That's already in here. But we're missing the page 2 of the background check. So.
Is this body this evening prepared to confirm Mr. Germano as the law director?
Madam President, I would answer that question with a motion to permanently table the nomination for Mike Germano to be the law director.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to table a motion to confirm Mr. Germano as the law director. I don't believe there's any discussion on the table. Is there? No. Yeah, sorry. Now I'm the one that's turning my head. There's no discussion on a table. Vicki?
Fiebig?
Yes.
Krebbins?
No.
Hellum?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pishmo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. The motion to confirm Michael Germano as law director has been tabled. The next one is confirmation of Thomas Talcott to serve as the fire chief.
Madam President, a motion to table for 2 weeks till our next meeting the appointment of Thomas Talcott.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Pismo to table the confirmation of Tom Talcott as fire chief for 2 weeks.
To the next
regular council meeting, and correct. There's no discussion on the table.
I'm sorry, who seconded it?
Laura.
Pishmo.
Okay, thank you. Fiebig?
Yes.
Grebbins?
No.
Hellum?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pishmo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. The motion to confirm Thomas Talcott as fire chief has been tabled for 2 weeks until our next regular council meeting.
Which would be January 25th.
Which would be January 25th. Thank you. Thank you, Vicki. The next one is Tree and Beautification Commission. Councilwoman Grebbins, would you like to speak to this?
I would love to. So under the Administrative Code, Chapter 161, the creation and establishment of a Tree and Beautification Commission, which shall consist of 7 members comprised of the mayor or his representative, the city road superintendent, a member of council who shall be appointed by council, and 4 residents of the city who are electors, 2 appointed by the mayor and 2 appointed by council. And I won't go into a great amount of detail, but definitely want to, and I'll submit this to Vicki to add to the minutes. The overall here is that this would afford our city the opportunity to have a group of 7 individuals work collectively to bring together giving advice on care, preservation, tree trimming. One of the things that I would, and there's absolutely no cost because they're not compensated, but what I love about it is this might be a group that could help looking for grant money from organizations that are promoting green space, that are promoting, whether it's the EPA, there's so much money out there for sustainability. So I'd like to bring this back to life. In reviewing the records, I think, Vicki, correct me if I'm wrong, it was active in 2007?
Up until 2007.
And so it's an opportunity, and it exists. So I'd love to speak about it in more detail.
And we can put that topic in Council Committee of the Whole.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Madam President?
Yes.
On the topic of new business and committees and commissions, I would like to move to appoint Christina Luciana Welsh and Keith Martinette to our Board of Income Tax Review for the city. They served previously in those roles, but I believe their appointments expire every 2 years. So I'd like to move to appoint both of them for another term.
Second.
Right. So the appointments go from June to June. So I believe Mr. Martinette's will expire this June as a member of his 2 years on it. And Christina has just been appointed, I believe, in October, November. So hers would expire in June of 2019, I think, something like that.
Madam President, she took over my seat on the Board of Tax Appeals, and I was appointed at the same time as Keith Martinette.
Okay, so both of them are serving until June of
2018.
It's on the roster, though. It just came out.
Well, I just want to make sure that we keep our committee staffed, and if they're there until June, so be it. We will remake the motion then, but I do want to thank Christina Luciana Welsh and Keith Martinette for their service to the city. Like many commissions, they're not compensated in that role, and they're there to defend the interests of the taxpayers if there are any disputes with our local taxes.
And I'm getting the impression from the mayor that this is fine.
I did check it.
Yeah, we did check it, because it goes from June to June instead of the calendar year.
The roster that Gloria just put out has that time frame.
Or it does not go
June.
From the date that they were appointed as their 12-month. Maybe we should look at that.
Well, please do double-check. I want to make sure the committee is fully staffed.
Okay.
Madam President?
Yes, Chris.
I was just curious because, to my knowledge, Steve Byron has not ever presented, gone to the civil service for his qualifications and such, or requiring anybody else that is a officer of the city to do that. And I'm wondering if that, when he would be subjecting himself to that.
So are you acknowledging that Mr. Byron is the acting law director?
Well, I was just told that's the law of the land. So while I may not agree with it, I still think that if somebody is going to be acting in that role in some in any capacity, that they should submit themselves to the civil service to be qualified.
The ordinance didn't provide for that. The ordinance sets what the law is. There's nothing that would prohibit council from engaging in that process by ordinance. But the I'm not a charter-appointed official, so I'm not subject to the same terms and conditions as one of those people would be.
He's not employed by the city.
I'm not employed by the city. The terms and conditions of my relationship to the city are established by the ordinance, not by the charter. That's why the charter process of the mayor terminating somebody doesn't apply. The ordinance provides for removal, the terms for the removal. Four members of council, or if I give notice, or if a law director is appointed and confirmed. Those are the three conditions. Mm-hmm. So if council wants to submit my background and review for review by the Civil Service Commission, you have the authority to do that.
I think we should do that. I'd like to make a motion that we have Steve Byron submit himself to civil service.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Hallam and a second from Councilwoman Grebens to request that the acting law director, Steve Byron, be submitted to a civil service inquisition.
Review.
Madam President.
And in so doing, that would assume that he's the law director.
A candidate to be a law director.
Candidate to be the law director.
Madam President, if at such time Mr. Byron is nominated by our mayor to be the law director, then per the charter he will go through Civil Service Commission review. But I would hope that in between then and now we would staff the Civil Service Commission with attorneys, with employment law experts, with people who are capable of doing a good review. I want to remind council and the public that the three-member commission that the mayor appointed were the ones that assured us that they had fully vetted Mr. Bobby DeSanto when it turned out that, number one, he had not graduated from college. Number two, although he checked no discipline, in fact, he had been disciplined by his previous employer, and that was documented in a front-page Plain Dealer article that apparently the Civil Service Commission didn't bother to check, that he did not have the certifications that were required in the application that he claimed to have. And when I questioned the Civil Service Commission vice chair at the council meeting and asked him, did he check the educational background, specifically the college degree of Mr. DeSanto, his response was to explain how he did a public records request to check it, which I agree in terms of methodology. That's how I checked Mr. DeSanto's college background and learned he did not have a degree. So I have zero confidence, and the public has zero confidence in the Civil Service Commission that the mayor's appointed, and I don't find their review to be particularly useful. Now, if at such time we have a new mayor and a new commission with qualified people, then I think that that might be a useful endeavor, but unless or until then, I don't think it would provide me with any added assurance that Mr. Byron has his credentials. I certainly respect Mrs. Carolyn Patton on the commission, but two of the three members have not demonstrated good faith in the past, and when one lies to council, and by the way, lying at a council meeting is falsification, it is actually a crime, I don't find that review to be particularly helpful. So I'm not in favor of this because I don't think a Civil Service Commission review would provide me with any information about Mr. Byron's background that I don't already have from my own research. And what I've learned about Mr. Byron is that not only was his father a founding father of Willoughby Hills and drafted the original version of the charter, not only is he one of the most respected municipal attorneys in all of Northeast Ohio, not only does he represent many other municipalities in the same way that he represents Willoughby Hills, he has guided us through an incredibly difficult time where the mayor sued his own city, ran as secretary for council, oh my gosh, appointed himself fire chief, and what else, mayor? I mean, this attorney has stood up in a difficult time for Willoughby Hills, and he's honoring his father's legacy, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you.
And he has nothing to lose. Awesome.
We have a motion on the floor. Vicki, call the vote.
Fabig.
No.
Grevins.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
No.
Fellows.
No.
Okay, we have one, two, three no's, and we have one, two, three, four yeses.
Motion passes with four yeses. You have to go through the Inquisition. All right, we have two additional motions that we amended the agenda for at the beginning of the meeting. The first would be, I would look for a motion to...
Madam President, I have it here.
You have it?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam President, I move that council request that the mayor go out to bid for asphalt and limestone needs for the city for 2018.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Hallam to go out to have direct the mayor to go out to bid for asphalt and limestone for 2018. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grevins.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Motion for the mayor to go out for bid for asphalt and limestone has been approved. And then the mayor had requested that we go into an executive session to discuss acquisition of city property and possible litigation, including all of council, the city engineer, and the acting law director, excusing the finance director, for approximately 5 minutes.
So moved.
Second.
A motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Hallam to go into executive session for this. Yes, city engineer and law director, excusing the finance director.
Thank you.
Second executive session with the council.
Yes.
Okay, and are you going to state that motion now or later?
No. Okay. To follow, after the five-minute executive session with the mayor, I would look for a motion to go into executive session to discuss pending and imminent litigation and the appointment, compensation, and removal of city officials or employees, inviting all of council, the acting law director, and attorney Joseph Gross for unlimited time. Greg Beck, sorry. Inviting and excusing the mayor, the finance director, and the city engineer.
So moved.
Second.
I have the motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Pismo.
Council President, maybe you said it, I just missed it. We normally say it's after good of the community, but before adjournment. Did you say?
I did not.
You said that. But I assume that's what we're going to do, right?
Yes. Is that okay? So we will go into executive session for these two topics after, for the good of the order and the good of the community. Thank you, Chris.
Sure.
And the law director is informed and asking that I let you know that there may be some legal action taken after the executive sessions.
Legislation.
Thank you. For the good of the order.
I believe we have to vote on that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
We have a lot of here going on. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Grevins.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. So this is to go into a second executive session following the first after for the good of the order. after for the good of the community, and coming back to the council table to address legislation. For the good of the order. For the good of the community.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
There's going to be a law enforcement appreciation night Saturday, January 27th from 6 to 10 at the Banquet Center across the street at St. Noel. This will be in featuring the guest speaker, our own officer, Craig Anderson, the officer who heroically was involved with the shooting at Classic BMW up the street, and this is put on by Blue Line Unlimited, no affiliation with the city. Tickets are $40 for a single, $70 for a couple with dinner, soft drinks, and beverages, and the benefit will be for the officer or his selected charity. So this is a good opportunity to get together as a community and thank our men in blue or women in blue, and just show support to the community for this officer and his heroic efforts. So I encourage you to join the event at BlueLineUnlimited.com. That's BlueLineUnlimited.com, and tickets should be purchased by Monday, January 22nd for this Saturday, January 27th event.
Thank you, Dave.
Madam President, yes. If I could share, St. Vitus Church, which many of our residents are members of, is celebrating its 125th anniversary this coming Sunday with an all-parish mass. So as a parishioner and a resident of Willoughby Hills, I just want to congratulate St. Vitus Church on 125 years. So maybe I'll see a few of you there. But that's quite a while for a church and quite a legacy for Cleveland and Willoughby Hills. Thank you.
Thank you. We will go on to our first executive session at 8:30 p.m.